Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Song sheet, as you're coming in, there's song sheets back there on the seat. I'm sorry? That guy's back there running it. He's got it. Gather if you will, and find a song sheet, and let's stand together and sing Ancient of Days. I'll not stand right in y'all's face for singing. Try to get a song sheet? Go ahead.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne and worship. You will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days, O Ancient of Days.
One more time.
O Ancient of Days.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reminder from your word that helps us to sing songs, that your kingdom is everlasting, your throne is eternal, that there is no end to your rule and to your reign in all of your universe. And yeah, God, we thank you that you have brought us into your kingdom. Thank you, oh God, that you are our King, that Jesus Christ is our Prince, that He is our King and our Priest, and our righteousness, that He is our defender, that He is the one who stands as our mediator even now, making intercession for us at your right hand. And we thank you for these truths that encourage our hearts as we try to live the Christian life with all of its attending challenges and difficulties that are our reality in this life. Thank you for the opportunity to be together this evening to encourage each other. And I pray that you will help us and strengthen us by our discussion and our time of prayer together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Just remain standing with me, would you please? Let's continue to learn Oh, the Deep, Deep Love. And Jonathan, if you'll turn this mic up just a tad bit more as folks are learning the tune, I'll try to make sure I carry the melody well for you, okay? On Oh, the Deep Love.
The deep, deep love of Jesus.
Hey, Jeff, hang on. Will y'all hang on just a second? You do that in capo 2 for me, please. I know there are lots of you who like them when they're really low like that, but if I have to growl, I'm going to just raise it. No worries.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of your love, leading onward, leading homeward, to your glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love, all I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread His praise from shore to shore. How He came to save our ransom, through the saving cross He bore. How He watches o'er His loved ones, those He died to make His own. How for them He's interceding, pleading now before the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love, all I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, far surpassing all the rest. It's an ocean full of blessing in the midst of every test. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, mighty Savior, precious friend. You will bring us home to glory, where your love will never end. Oh, the deep, deep love, all I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus.
Very good. Good. Please be seated if you would. Well, we did a whole lot of justification by faith alone this morning. And so I wanted to give you the opportunity, if you would like to ask questions or to raise questions about perhaps even application or why is this doctrine so critical. I think probably you've got a pretty good grasp on that. And at the same time, I want us to keep realizing how critical that is and how it can be so helpful in encouraging and in strengthening us. I started to do something tonight, teaching-wise, but a part of why we're doing this on Sunday evenings is so we can be together and encourage one another and strengthen one another, talk, interact, pray together. And so I don't want to abandon that. Guiding principle for the meeting. So if it will help you, I'm going to just run back through some of the things that I talked about this morning to get those things back in your thinking in terms of this challenge about the breastplate of righteousness. And I began by reminding you about why I think Paul is talking about a breastplate. That is to cover and defend those vital organs, and that it is our souls that are at stake. And so Paul calls us to put on the breastplate for that very reason, that it is our that immaterial part of us, our souls, the part of us that will live forever, that is at stake. And while we will all die a physical death, we need not die spiritually. God applies His righteousness so that we can be raised back to newness of life, brought back into right relationship with Him. So this righteousness is threefold. It is described in the Bible as God's righteousness, because He is righteous. It is the reflection of who and what He is. It's His very character. It is the righteousness that God requires. He says, be ye holy because I am holy. And so it's not that like pressing after Christ-likeness is only for super Christians or for professionals like preachers, but the holy living is for every Christian. That's what God calls us to. And then the beauty of the gospel is that the very righteousness that God requires of us, He supplies for us in Christ. Caleb and I were talking a little bit after the message this morning, and he reminded me that that would be a good gospel presentation. Just as you're talking to folks, to say that, remind them that God calls us out of His own holiness to holiness. As God is righteous, He calls us to righteousness, and then He supplies that righteousness in Christ, not through any merit of our own. And so that sometimes if you're trying to think, what in the world do I talk about as I try to communicate with people about the gospel, that might be good hooks to hang your thinking on, that God is righteous, that He requires, it's easy for you to say, requires righteousness, and that then He supplies that very righteousness. And just saying that, you want to sit back and go, how can it be that good? That the very thing that God demands of us, He then turns around and gives to us. How sweet is that? And we would never have come up with that. We come up with all kinds of ways that we can try to placate God by our own righteousness. And then we learned or remembered that righteousness becomes ours by faith, that it is not by our own merit, and then that this righteousness keeps us from building a moral resume. It helps us deflect the accusations of the devil. It cultivates in us a love for holiness, for righteousness, and it establishes a foundation of confidence and assurance so that we are not constantly wondering, am I really a Christian? And we don't compare ourselves to other Christians, and we don't compare ourselves. One commentator I read said, if you want to really worry about your salvation, compare yourself to some of the saints who have gone before you and the ways that they have honored Christ and the way that they've lived their lives. And start comparing yourself to other people, and you will soon worry about whether you're really a Christian or not. And so he said, that's foolish. Don't do that. Don't compare yourself to other people. Rest in the righteousness of Christ. And that's where our confidence and assurance is found, not in comparing ourselves with others. Okay, so does that give you enough of a reminder that maybe there were questions that came up or comments or ways that you have seen God help you? Perhaps you've seen God help you fight the fight, or perhaps you've fought the fight, fought the battle, and just lost. And you need us to pray for you. Or perhaps you have a comment regarding some of the things that we're wrestling over. This will be a good time to talk about some of those things. So, questions or comments or needs? Sue Ellen. Sure. Yeah, that's I think, and again, like 98.9% of everything I say to you, I read someplace. I guess I don't want to try to act like I'm smart by saying this was a great encouragement to me when I read this. Remember that we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory, which is what Sue Ellen's saying. So it's as we're talking about going out and doing this battle, it's not that we have to produce something. It's not that we have to come up with victory. It's not that we have to overcome Satan. And here's a great place to look. Turn in to Colossians. Is chapter 2, I think. Yeah. Colossians chapter 2. And let's just start in verse 13, because it'll kind of set up the emphasis in verse 14. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. So there's the look, the reminder that this is God's work in us. It's not, again, something that we conjure up. It's not that you have to get up tomorrow morning and say, okay, here comes more battle. Here, I gotta stir up the effort and the energy. No, it's God who has made you alive, so it's God who pours life into you. And then as you go on through the passage in verse 14, he's done this by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. So that's a great encouragement and a reminder to you and to me that all, not just part of our sin, all of our sin has been forgiven. All of the demand of the law has been satisfied by the perfect life of Christ. All of Jesus' perfections are yours. Let that sink down just a little bit. All of Jesus' perfections are yours. And when he uses that phrase, canceling the record of debt, there's a really wonderful picture that's drawn there for us. These folks would have immediately thought about a wax tablet on which debts were recorded. And on the other end of the stylus that they used to record the debts, there was a blunt end that when a debt was paid off, they would sweep through the wax and obliterate any record of that debt with the blunt end of the stylus. That was at least one way of doing these things. And that's the phrase here, canceling out a debt. So there's that picture of debt being wiped out, not to be remembered or known about any longer. And then the end part of verse 14, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Now, remember back in Ephesians chapter 6 what this passage says. With whom do we wrestle? Our wrestles are against like rulers and authorities, right? Those are some of the things that are pictured back in Ephesians 6. And this is telling us that Christ in his death has conquered them, that they are defeated, that the battle is over, that it is won, the victory is full. The only thing that is left is for the sentence to be executed on them. So we don't want to start getting into the sense that every day I've got to conquer something. But Christ has already conquered sin and death and hell, and that has been accomplished. And so even like the language that Paul uses in the end of chapter 1 of Colossians, the end of chapter 1 in Colossians, verse 29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me." So he even supplies the energy, as it were, as we, and I think that it calls upon us to avail ourselves of the means of grace, to be in God's Word. You know, we can't think God's Word without being in God's Word. So we read God's Word so that we can have it available to us. We avail ourselves of prayer because God called us to pray and to be strengthened by praying together and individually and so forth. But we fight from victory, not for victory. And I think that's really important to remember.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive,